Turn, please, in your Bibles to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Jeremiah, about the middle of your Bible or a little past. Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9. Bow for prayer. Father, we come before Thee. We pray that the Spirit of God might speak to our heart as we look at the Word of God. We pray that we might understand it and submit to it. We pray, Lord, if there are folks here that don't know that they're saved and they might come to knowledge of Christ today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This is a powerful and astounding statement. The Word of God says the heart, man's heart, is deceitful above all things, most deceitful thing, in other words. That the heart of man is desperately wicked. What makes that so astounding? Somebody might say, wait a minute, Bible. After all, Protestant scholars believe that man is basically good, not desperately wicked. Non-religious folks agree with the Protestant scholars and believe that man is basically good, don't they? Evolutionists believe man is basically good. The average educators of our day believe that man is basically good. Yet the Word of God says that his heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. I believe Almighty God. I believe the Bible. I believe this verse. But you know something? Anytime we see the truth in the Word of God and we believe the truth in the Word of God, we also can look around, and if we're observant and if we think, we can look around and we can see the truth of the Word of God going on right about us. Did you not see this truth in action last weekend? Remember, I'm sure you could not forget the Clarence Thomas confirmation hearings. I believe that's a tremendous demonstration of the truth of Jeremiah 17:9. For 3 or 4 days, in the Senate of our country and in the media, there was this general question, who is lying? On the one hand, you had these hearings for the confirmation of a Supreme Court Justice, Clarence Thomas. And they gave time to an accuser, Anita Hill, who accused him of sexual harassment. And so he came out and he made his statement and he told his story. She came out and she made her statement. She told her story. And many witnesses came along. And he said he did not do that. And she said he did. And her witnesses said that she's good, and his witnesses said that he's good, and everyone said, who is lying? And for 3 days, this kind of thing went on. And then at the beginning of last week in the USA Today newspaper, they had taken some polls. People had taken some polls, and as it turned out, 47% were behind Clarence Thomas and felt that he was the one who was good or not lying, and 24% of the American public thought that she was all right or that she was not lying. And then, of course, right as this thing was coming to a conclusion, came the news that Anita Hill had passed a lie detector test. Now, I didn't see any of the results of that test, but that's what we heard, that she had passed a lie detector test. Nevertheless, more Americans, twice as many as a matter of fact, believed him rather than her. However, this whole dirty mess, and it was a dirty mess, the whole dirty mess is a perfect illustration of the truth of God's Word and this astounding statement that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And even though a vast amount of Protestants and other unbelievers and a majority of people may say that man is basically good, God says he's desperately wicked, and the truth of it will manifest itself if we'll just look and examine and see what's happening. First of all, let's take the matter of the fact that God says the heart is deceitful. Well, I'll tell you something. 3 days of the heart of man were paraded before us last weekend. And if you took a good look, you'd see it was deceitful. You know, the heart of man is like driving up to a magnificent home. You see the grass beautifully cut and manicured and all the bushes in place and the house is painted and it looks beautiful, and you get up and you knock on the door and they let you go inside the house and you slip on a banana peel right into a whole pile of garbage that's been sitting there for weeks. That's what the heart of man is like. Looks all nice on the outside until you get inside to see what the home is really like. Last weekend, we opened the door to the heart of man and we saw the dirt. What's outstanding in my mind is this Bible truth that God says the heart is deceitful. And oh boy, was there ever deceit last weekend? You see, if you were to listen to all of those hearings, you would have heard so much about sexual harassment, you would have thought that the hearings were about sexual harassment and whether this Supreme Court nominee had sexually harassed this woman. That's what you would have thought they were about. But that's not what it was about at all. It was deceitful. What was really going on were that the liberals, that's a nice Bible word, but it doesn't apply to liberals in our country. The liberals, we should call them just the wicked. A liberal is a person who wants to legislate freedom for wickedness. The liberals in our country, what was really going on was the liberals in our country were trying desperately, desperately, desperately with the last dirty trick they could think of to defeat this man to get on that court. That's what was really going on. You see, they were not really concerned with his relationship with Anita Hill, his accuser. They wanted him to be defeated because what that hearing was about was not about sexual harassment. It was about Roe versus Wade. That's what it was really about. Because they felt if he got on there, and if he voted the way they didn't want him to vote, that Roe versus Wade, which I understand was based on a lie to begin with, if that was overturned, you see, they were afraid that he might be the person who would cast a vote that would overturn Roe versus Wade, which is another one of the rights in this country, the right to take a human life that hasn't been born yet, you see. And that would cause another problem. And the other problem it would be that the feminist groups who keep such a strong base in the Washington, D.C. area would then have to go out to all the states, you see, to lobby to keep abortion in the states if it were overturned federally. That's what that whole thing was about. The heart is deceitful above all things. That's what really was going on. I mean, you could tell that easily. They interviewed one woman, and she says, "Oh, I know, he lied, because he lied about Roe versus Wade." "Oh? How do you know he lied about that?" "He said he hadn't discussed Roe versus Wade, and we know, so he lied." "Well, how did she know that he hadn't discussed it. You see? She didn't know. She just figured she discussed it, so he must have too, I guess. The heart is deceitful. So it was deceitful about what was going on. And then you have the testimony. And again, in the testimony, that proves that the heart is deceitful above all things. And the question comes out, can both witnesses be credible? It never occurred to anybody that both witnesses could have been deceitful. You see, the Bible exposes the heart of man. It says everybody's deceitful. Man tries to establish his own standards for honesty, doesn't he? Man has his own standards for honesty. Man knows that a certain thing is a lie or something is not a lie. And man establishes his own standards. So man knows how to say a lot of things that are not a lie and make them come out deceitful. That's how it works. See, but God knows man, so God doesn't just say man always lies. He says the heart is deceitful. Can I give you my perception of what's happened there based on what I know from the Bible? I'd say, I think he probably talked to her about many of the things that she alleged he said. Now, why do I say that? Well, there's many reasons why I say that. One of them is, I've been around lost men in my lifetime, and I know what they talk about. I mean, we're going to get into truth here. We're not going to put a show here. You know, I mean, I played ball in grammar school, high school, college, after college, semi-pro. I've been in the locker rooms with lost men. I know what they talk about. I worked at Ford Motor Company for any number of summers while I was working my way through college. I know what they talk about. I've been in garages. I've worked in white-collar jobs and been on coffee breaks. I know what they talk about. I'm especially talking about lost men. I would hope it would be confined to lost men. But men talk about women and sex. And in various places where they can get away with it, they hang pictures of women on a wall, not terribly covered over with clothes. They have magazines around. This is the truth of it. That's what it's like in the workplace with men. As a matter of fact, at the Christian college I attended, one of the fellows had pornographic magazines. This was back in the years when I think those things just started. In the workplace, when men aren't working, they talk about sex and gambling, and sometimes the better ones just talk about pure sports. You know what makes me laugh? Sometimes women, silly women, I'll tell you, silly women, they'll get mad at me and they'll say something about me for saying this, but silly women get upset that their husbands like sports so much and watch the sports. You know what the other ones are looking at? You ought to be happy. But you know, the women wanted to get in the workplace with the men. And the women cried out, at least a segment of them. It's a guy I've been listening to on the radio. He's really interesting. He calls them feminazis. A segment of the women cry out, say, we want equality! We want equality with the men! But now she wants more than equality. She wants control. She wants to control the situation. So she says, you know, I'll put into law that if you talk about that kind of stuff around me, I'll get you for sexual harassment and I'll ruin you. So the woman has a law not only to get her in with the men where they talk about that stuff, but one that can be used to control the men. You say, how can that be? You know, it ought to be evident to anybody who heard all of this stuff this past weekend that any woman in this country who's ever been in an office alone with her boss could make a charge, whether it's true or not, could make a charge of sexual harassment. And who could dispute it? It would be her word against his word, with everybody astounded that she would come forward and say these kind of things. And even if she couldn't prove it in a court of law, it could still ruin him, couldn't it? The heart is deceitful above all. The heart is deceitful. And desperately wicked. Deceit. Oh, there was so much deceit going on. Here's my theory, how you reconcile these two stories. She said he sexually harassed her. He said it's all a pack of lies. Here's my theory, how you reconcile the two stories. This is what I think, anyway. I think she did indeed have conversations with him about the films and the sex. You right away say, well, then you say, and he lied. Maybe not as I heard it. I think I heard all of his testimony. I'm not sure. I do not believe that he ever addressed whether he actually said those words or not. Every time he was asked, he simply said, it's all lies. Never said where he did any of those things or said any of those things. He just said, it's all lies. Now there is a critical difference. You see, he would be accurate if she entered into those conversations with him willingly. But you see the problem? When he knows he's going to be questioned on that, he probably had a choice, if this is what really happened. He probably had a choice if he would have turned around and said, yeah, I said that, but she was a willing listener. He knows the whole thing would have exploded and they would have been all over him. So the way he turned it was, he simply said, it's all lies. And what was the lie? The lie was that it was sexual harassment. It was not whether he said sexual things, it was whether it was sexual harassment. And do you know what harassment is? Harassment is the kind of thing that the liberals like to change the meaning of. Just like they tried to change the meaning of child abuse. They like to change the meaning so that they can convict people. Harassment, as I understand it, is a certain kind of torment that the person keeps after you that really gets you in a mental framework. Now, America did not buy that this harassment could have happened to her if she would have voluntarily later on driven him to an airport. You see, if you're tormented by somebody, you don't volunteer to drive him to the airport so he can be tormented more. America didn't buy her story, you see, that it was harassment. So, I believe what he was saying is, it's all lies, it wasn't harassment. Now you say, but you know, she passed a lie detector test. Oh, yes. But I haven't seen the text of the lie detector test, have you? Has it been published? Do we know what its contents were? To me, that would be pretty important, that lie detector test. Why would it be important? Well, you know, I mean, who put together the questions for the lie detector test? That would be important to me. Somebody could say, did you work for this man on such and such a day? Yes. Did you work over here on such and such a day? Yes. Do you teach at this college on such and such a day? Yes. Pass the lie detector test. You see? I mean, I don't know how they do these things. I want to see what the questions were and how they were asked and how they were answered. To me, those things would be kind of important. Sometimes things like that, people can get in and juggle things around. You never know until you see exactly what was going on there. Now, here's a possible scenario for her sincerity. She talked about this stuff with him, so she heard that, but maybe she did all this thinking that it would enhance her career, and that by letting him talk about this stuff and so forth, that she would be one of the boys, so to speak, if not any romantic interest or all the other kind of speculations you could make. But later, when she hadn't gained anything career-wise by this, she starts to think, well, that was harassment. And she convinces herself in time that it was. She tells a few people so she can use it as some leverage if she needs it someday. And I got to throw this in. Those people got on, her friends got on and told those senators, why, the reason she never said these things before was she never wanted to burn any bridges behind her. Well, she just burned the biggest bridge in the world. What an answer. But you know, she could have well convinced herself after the fact that it was harassment, thought about it so much in those terms that she really, truly believed it. You see, that's a very real possibility. Why? Because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart's so deceitful, the person doesn't even know how deceitful they are. They deceive themselves. The Bible just said that. That's a truth. It's not a truth that'll get us anywhere with the Senate, but it's a truth. Now, here we get to the key word in this verse, who can know it? Do you know what that means? Who can know it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do you know what that means? Let me give you the definition of who can know it. That's four syllables. Who can know it? Four syllables. I'm going to give you a four-syllable word. That's a definition of who can know it. Hypocrisy. That's the four syllables. Hypocrisy. Who can know it means hypocrisy. The person is so filled with hypocrisy, they don't know how deceitful they are. The lost don't even know how deceitful their own heart is. And it's true of many saved people too. Do you know what the great hypocrisy of the human heart is? Think about it. Here you have the Senate Judiciary Committee saying, we are all so concerned about this serious matter of sexual harassment. And there sits Teddy Kennedy. Enough said for this morning. And then some senator, Republican senator, points out their hypocrisy. You know what he said? He said, we, the Senate, are immune from the charge of sexual harassment with our staff. heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Isn't that something? So a woman that works on the Senate staff, works for a senator, cannot charge the senator with sexual harassment. There are laws all over the land for everybody else but them. Who can know it? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. They were so concerned. Do you see the Bible truth here? You know, this is the kind of sermon every once in a while somebody who is mad at me because they don't like the content of it or whatever they say, he preached a whole political sermon. No, it's not a political sermon. I used a real live example to illustrate and emphasize and press home a Bible truth so you can see what the Word of God says and see exactly how it works. And that's what God's people ought to be doing every day of their life, is knowing what the Word of God says and seeing it all about them in everything that happens. Deceitful. They don't even know it. The truth of this verse reverberates through history and in present humanity. You think of all the deceit, all the hypocrisy that went into this kind of thing. It's really something. The same people, the very same bunch who fought for the freedom of expression under the Bill of Rights and everything so that people could have the freedom to speak with obscenities and lewdness and watch pornography and have pornography. These same people are appalled if the judge did those things that they have fought for everybody to have the right to do. Now the women want to be in the workplace with a man, but they want to be protected from what the man is like. Unless you get the wrong idea, I'm not against the fact that many women have to work to support their family, though there may be some jobs they want to stay away from. But they want to work out there with the man, and they want to be protected from what the man is like. I got to ask a question, because we're dealing with hypocrisy. Why didn't they ever put in a law for Christians that we would be protected from obscenity, lewdness, cussing, pornography, and people in the workplace taking Jesus' precious name in vain? Do you know why? Do you know what they would say if we said we want a law that we don't have to be harassed by people doing those things? You know what they would say to us? They would say, you shouldn't force your morality on others. But they didn't say that to Anita Hill, that she was forcing her morality on somebody else. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, I'd like an investigation. I'd like 100 investigations, but I'll just mention this one. Because we're talking about sexual harassment. I'd like an investigation all over this country. I wonder whether children in public school have had sexual harassment by teachers in the name. I dare say that if the parents knew the things that were said in the health classes, science classes, and all the other excuses for classes about the parts of the body and everything else and the morality that went along with it, I bet your parents knew that, they might decide to have a class action suit in the name of the children that they were sexually harassed by the teachers. And you know what all the feminazis would say? You're forcing your morality on us. But the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Are you able to see what this verse teaches? What does it teach? That you don't even know how deceitful your own heart is. You see, you might say, not me, Pastor. That verse doesn't mean me. The Senate, oh yes, but not me. Ah, you just proved it again. It means you. The heart is deceitful above all things, includes your heart. What happened last weekend? Everybody in this country was outraged at someone. Couldn't we say that? They were outraged at someone. Some were outraged at Thomas. Some were outraged at Hill. Most people were outraged at the Senate. But who is outraged at their own heart and said, who can know it? That's the great hypocrisy of the human heart, is that we're outraged at others, and we're never outraged at ourselves. You see, you listener may believe that this verse is absolutely true for everyone but you. Isn't it true? You're the only one in the world that's not deceived by your own heart. And this verse does indeed apply to everyone in the world. But you? Is that right? I asked the question before. Do you know what the great hypocrisy of the human heart is? I just gave you the answer. There are three kinds of people listening to me right now. One kind is the sinner who says, that's not me, the heart is deceitful above all. It's not me, and I don't have to get saved. The second kind of person is a saved person who says, that doesn't apply to me, that verse, but I can think of who it does apply to. And the third type of person is a humble person who says, God said it, I believe it, it's me, I submit to it. That whole dirty mess last weekend illustrated the truth of verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It showed the deceitfulness because it was really about abortion. It showed the hypocrisy many ways. The liberals set a climate of freedom of speech in his country that really was a freedom for licentiousness and pornography and sex talk. And then they act appalled if somebody acts that way. But we too can be outraged at this behavior and other behavior. And our own house isn't clean. What if Jesus had entered the Senate and said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Saved person, will you say, the heart, my heart is deceitful. My heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Will you say that? Let's bow for prayer. So our heads are bowed. We come to our invitation time. Would you ask yourself, am I saved or am I deceiving myself? If you can't say for sure that you're saved, would you ask God to save your wicked soul right now in the quietness of your heart? Would you do that? Would you ask Him to save you? Child of God, has God spoken to your heart about some matter that you need to get right with the Lord? Will you do that right now? And start to focus more on yourself than on the sins of others? Will you do that? May God help you in this quiet moment. As our heads are bowed, before I pray, I want to ask if you made that decision. If you say, preacher, I just ask the Lord to save me. I mean it with all my heart. I do want to be saved today. Would you raise your hand? Let me know before I pray. Would you raise it up so I can see it before I pray? Is there someone? Or you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I want to be saved. I want to know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? Let me know. Father, we come before Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that if there are folks here that don't know Thee as Savior, that they'll come and answer the invitation and get wonderfully saved today. I pray for God's people that they might have a desire with all their heart to be right with Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. 57, please, in your hymn book. 57 in your hymn book. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. This is a song of invitation. In a moment, we're going to sing. And if you're not sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven and you'd like to be sure you're saved, when we stand and sing, would you step out and come meet me at the front and I'll have someone show you in the Bible how to be saved so you know you're saved today. Maybe you need to get right with God and pray with someone. Would you come? As we stand and sing, you just step out and come. If you're not sure you're saved and you want to be, you come now as we sing verse 57. Hymn 57.